$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. Three episodes to go.
Including this one.
Including this one.
Okay.
Whoa. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
And Brian Higgins.
Ahoy, hoy.
I know, gentlemen, it's a little bit daunting to think about that there's only, with this episode, three episodes to go.
And then we'll never see each other again.
Well, no, we'll see each other again, but the Cinemaniacs won't be able to hear our melodious voices.
Well,
we could do random movie things.
We could do special episodes.
We could do special episodes.
Very special episodes.
Yeah,
you guys can teach me about the dangers of drugs.
That's right.
And unprotected sex.
We'll tell you that. And Brian, when you write reports on Jesse James, Genghis Khan, or other just horrible people,
I'll have nightmares
about them murdering you. We'll talk about your bad dreams.
Yes.
And we'll comfort you, and we'll pull a Three Men and a Little Baby moment and say, good night, sweetheart, well, it's time to... And then we'll just lull you to sleep. But something that I sometimes need to lull to sleep at night is the TV on.
The TV on? What's a TV on?
A TV on. It's when you leave the TV on and just fall asleep to the sweet sounds of, like, trivia questions.
I have the problem if I try to put on a game show or something where
I have
to get invested.
Yeah, I guess it depends on
the game show.
Because then
like
it's just like,
trivia one I need to answer, but if it's like...
You need to answer?
Yeah, I do.
Your wife is like, stop answering these questions.
I'm one of those guys, like, if you hear someone being like, what's his name? Like, from across the room, I have to, like, yell it out.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, exactly, because I just can't let that go.
That does happen.
But, I mean, there's certain game shows like a Wheel of Fortune, I feel like I could fall, like a word puzzle, where I'd have to be looking at it. So if I had my eyes closed, wouldn't it be as intrigued? Or this one on the Buzzer Network called Card Sharks, where you're basically just playing high-low with a deck of cards, you know? It's not something
Isn't
that I...
Isn't it better to, like, just turn the TV off?
That's true.
In theory, it's probably better for your sleep.
It probably is. That's what it ultimately comes to. I'll fall asleep, like, and then I'll wake up and I'll turn it off.
I'll often fall asleep with the TV on, but it has to be something that I've seen before.
That's my way of not being invested.
Like
a movie I've seen before.
You know what's funny is when I first started dating my wife, she would always have to fall asleep with the TV on.
See, that's my wife. That's why I like complete silence.
I was like, no, we have to turn it off. I need darkness. I need quiet. I need everything. And now I'm like, all right, I guess I can keep the TV on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I have to fall asleep to, like, Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
She's like, why?
Well, my
wife. There's so much action going on. I was like, eh.
My wife's go-to movie in the recent years was Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then they took that off Netflix and she was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And then as a joke, I said, hey, I found Doctor Strange, and I put it in your queue, and she's like, awesome.
Doctor Strange Love?
It was the animated one. It was like the Marvel Studios. She's like, this is not the same.
You could have just bought her the DVD.
We don't have a DVD player in our bedroom.
Why don't you? Yeah, but so then buy a digital,
like $20.
Buy a digital copy.
That's true. Now, we don't have a DVD in the back, but we do have a TV with basic cable. Not a TV with 666 channels, mind you.
Oh.
Like Roy Nabel.
Transitioning.
The star of the movie we did a full review of, Stay Tuned. Gentlemen, do you have any kind of follow-up thoughts after watching Stay Tuned?
Not really.
No, zero.
The one thing that I was thinking of is I didn't really go into this, but in my mind I was like, hey, I should go into like a John Ritter binge a little bit. It's funny because we brought this up. We were like, oh, we watched Stay Tuned, and I was actually talking to someone. They're like, hey, do you remember the movie Real Men? Do you guys remember that movie?
No.
John Ritter and Jim Belushi.
Did they play real men?
It's the weirdest movie. Jim Belushi is like a super agent. He's like a super secret agent, and he tricks John Ritter into thinking it is. And it's this really weird spy movie where they're trying to get like a glass of water, and there's aliens involved, and it's a really weird movie. And I remember as a kid watching the trailer, each of them would come up and they would go, real men do this, real men do that. And then I saw the movie and I was like, this is so bizarre, but I think it's worth a watch.
You mentioned you went kind of in a John Ritter deep dive.
No, I wanted to.
You wanted to. Okay.
I just
pulled up
he got to Three's Company.
Yeah,
and
I just pulled up his filmography. Can you guess his top four on IMDb?
Well, Three's Company has to be on it.
Can you guess what spot that's in? Actually, here, You name
I
four
third.
And try to predict the order.
Okay. What was the show that he passed away on?
8 Simple Rules to Dating My Teenage Daughter.
I'm going to say that was that's that one of them.
How about, so it's got to be Three's Company. It's got to be that. He did a lot of, like, he had a Private Eye show. I don't think they did that. He was on Fish Police, the animated TV show.
What the hell is Fish Police?
It came after about Capital
some
Critters.
Some fish that are police.
And then he was in I'm going to say he was in the TV miniseries of Stephen King's It, because he was in that. And then he was in a movie called, like, Skin Deep or Too Deep or something. So I'm going to say Three's Company, 8 Simple Rules, Stephen King's It, and Stay Tuned.
Okay, Rick, do you have any different guesses?
Wasn't he in another? No. There was like a young kid.
Him
he,
and a kid?
I think you're having a problem coming up with this one, Rick.
Problem child. Oh. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Ha, ha, ha. I knew there was one where he was in like, it was a main movie. All right, so Problem Child, we'll go with 8 Simple Rules is first. Second is Three's Company. Third is Problem Child. Fourth is, nope, here we go. I'm sorry. It is first, 8 Simple Rules second, Problem Child third, Three's Company fourth.
Oh, Rick, you were so close.
Wow. What was it?
So first is Sling Blade.
Oh, I never saw that movie.
Wow, no.
Yeah, he had like,
I didn't know he was
a supporting role in that.
I didn't know.
Second,
I've never seen it.
Was Three's Company. Third, Problem Child.
Yep, good.
Fourth, Bad Santa.
Oh, yeah. He was in Bad Santa.
Another supporting role.
I remember that. Okay.
See, it always, sometimes, I don't know the algorithms that
IMDb uses for their known for, but these
are not, like, I would put Three's Company, I would put Problem Child, but I don't think the other two are necessarily, maybe Bad Santa because it was one of his last
why I'm thinking the TV show would have been on there because that's the one he passed away on.
I think Bad Santa was released after he passed as well.
Exactly, you're right. All right, well, moving on. A little fun facts.
Little fun facts about John Ritter.
About John Ritter, and Stay Tuned. More Stay Tuned.
But, Rick, I think that gives you a free point for our upcoming game today.
Woo-woo.
So you're going to start out plus one, or you can make Mark start out minus one.
Oh.
It's the same math.
I was just going to say. It'll take them two to get to one.
To become one.
Because he has to go to zero first.
That's true.
Two mints and one. All right, so some fun facts about Stay Tuned from 1992. Tim Burton was offered to direct the film, but he turned it down to make Batman Returns.
I wonder what his version would have looked like.
Yeah.
Because it's before he kind of became
crazy,
insufferable Tim Burton.
Right.
So it probably would have been quite interesting.
This was based on a story that was unaired on Unsolved Mysteries.
What?
Yeah.
Are they implying that a family actually got sucked into a TV?
And maybe someone just, like, hypothesized that they got sucked in. Maybe they just went missing and the TV was on, so.
Oh.
When sending away for something from Acme as a cartoon mouse, the envelope Roy is mailing has a stamp featuring a likeness of cartoon legend Chuck Jones,
who supervised
the animation sequence in the film. And again, we knew that, Brian, because we watched the DVD extras. Chuck Jones was like, I'm here.
And you watched the cast section of the extras for at least three hours.
I kept clicking through, trying to figure out how to make something happen.
Director Peter Hyams was so captivated by the script that he repeatedly badgered Morgan Creek executives until they agreed to let him direct the movie.
How could you be enamored by the script? I think maybe he just needed money. The only script he had his hand on at the time is like, I need to pay rent. I am enamored with this script.
I will make this movie. Give me money.
The producers wanted Dan Aykroyd for the part of Roy Nabel.
That's interesting.
He's kind of got the comedic thing from Ghostbusters, and he's kind of like a nerd that maybe would watch TV a lot.
I think if they had done that, they probably wouldn't have cast Pam Dauber.
No, probably not.
Because it would have been less of a TV people. Even though Dan Aykroyd was on SNL, but he wasn't really a TV guy to me.
Ah, I thought you said TV guide.
No.
He's not a TV guide. What's on TVS tonight?
Nor was he a TV on.
On the name board in the control room in Hell, there is an office message saying to remember that Tuesday is Saddam Hussein Appreciation Day.
That sounds like a joke right out of Spy Hard.
Yep.
Nice.
Mike Myers and Dana Carvey were actually offered the cameos as Dwayne and Garf on Dwayne's Underworld. They passed because they were busy with production on the Wayne's World movie. at the same time.
The original one?
Yep. In Wayne's World 2, Bobby calls Wayne Dwayne Dwayne. What? He calls Wayne Dwayne. Not Dwayne Wayne, though, from a different world. That's
Wayne
Kadeen
Dwayne.
Harson.
Wayne Dwayne.
Eugene Levy had previously starred on a TV series that was called Stay Tuned in 1976. That's
no
kind of cool. That's kind of like how George Clooney's big fame, you know, when he became more in the public eye, he was just a working actor, was ER. But then he was on a comedy like 5 years before,
also called ER.
E/R.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Any guesses on the budget of this movie?
Oh, I don't know. $6 million.
So you're saying the same budget as Bill and Ted's, our last movie.
I don't think it's much, and you're really hiring TV actors. I mean, it's not. I mean, you've got Jeffrey Jones.
But there was a lot
He's
of like,
be the highest
rights
paid.
And production stuff going on here.
I don't think they paid for many of these rights due to the fact that you can't stream it anywhere.
I bet, like, at least the animation was pretty costly.
The
special effects for some of the stuff, a lot of the makeup effects. I'm going to go with the over on Rick's guess.
Okay.
So you're saying $6 million and $1?
$6 million and $1.
Okay, you're right. It's $25 million.
$25 million.
I was right.
Man, they give money to everybody. No wonder why he was enamored with the script.
So this is funny. In the early trailers and other promotional material, it showed a close-up of the two actresses in the three company spoof scene, revealing that they were lookalikes and not the original actresses. In the final edit of the movie, the close-up shot was taken out.
Yes.
Because they were like, these are clearly not them. An Easter egg goof, that kind of thing Rick usually enjoys in a movie. Like
I
a
do.
Flub.
I do like
so
those.
When Daryl, David Tom, the son, goes out to look at the satellite dish, he almost gets sucked in. You see him holding onto the house to prevent it from sucking him in,
yep.
And you also see two hands holding him up in the air.
What? Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm amazed we missed that.
Yeah, I'm surprised we missed that, too.
Oh.
That's usually like you spotted that in our Great Outdoors episode when Dan Aykroyd's going like 5, 4, 3, 2, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that would have been great to see.
So that's all the fun facts about Stay Tuned.
Those are the only fun facts about this movie.
We finished the fun facts
Nothing else
in
is
35
fun.
Seconds.
Nothing else. All right, gentlemen, now's the time where we connect the last reviews that we did, which was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which we just mentioned, to the current reviews at Stay Tuned. Now,
I have a single connection.
Okay, I have the first one that popped into my head in about 5 seconds was a 3-step.
Okay.
And then I thought about it more and I got a 2-step. So
give us your 3-step.
Here's my 3-step.
Give us a little dance,
Mr.
Mark.
George Carlin, a.k.a. Rufus.
Hello, I'm George Carlin.
That kind of sounds like
Harvey Fierstein.
To Ben Affleck in either Dogma or Jane, Silent Bob Strikes Back.
We're using the same connections as
I know,
last time.
A little similar. Ben Affleck was in the movie Changing Lanes with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, I saw that movie in the theater.
And then Samuel Jackson was in, I know this is one of your favorite movies, Brian, The Man with Eugene Levy.
I never saw that one.
I know,
but I do think I saw Changing Lanes in the theater with you.
Yeah, I definitely
saw it.
I
think we saw that together.
I don't like that movie.
I don't remember anything about it. And I always confuse it with Mad City.
Yeah.
With John Travolta and Dustin Hoffman.
Because the poster was the same. It was just their two faces. All right. So here's my 2-step. So this is going to be a good go-to movie because I think we used this for Keanu last. So Keanu Reeves was in Much Ado About Nothing. You recall I connected him to Denzel Washington last episode.
Mm.
Keanu was in Much Ado About Nothing. Also with Michael Keaton. He's in that movie, too.
Oh.
And then Michael Keaton is in, well, two connections you can either go with him. You can either go Michael Keaton to Eugene Levy in Multiplicity or Michael Keaton to Jeffrey Jones in Beetlejuice. So I can go to either of those guys.
Oh, that's pretty good. My direct connection is Keanu Reeves to Jeffrey Jones in The Devil's Advocate.
Oh.
Oh, Jeffrey Jones is in the, okay. Well, is he playing
I
Spike?
Thought that was Al Pacino.
No, not that.
I thought it was Charlize Theron.
Yes, that is true.
That was some good makeup in that movie.
You do not want to confuse her for Jeffrey Jones.
No. All right, gentlemen, those are some swell connections. Brian, you have something fun for us today.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure. No
oh,
one got
sure.
it at all.
Oh, sure.
I think Mark starts at negative 10.
No.
Oh, that will be very.
He doesn't get to dictate the terms just because he got one extra point.
Yeah, you get -1.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay,
-1 is fine.
Mark
is
starting
10.
At -1. Rick is starting at 0.
Yeah.
So we're going to do another round of the IMDb Parents Guide game.
I'm fine with that because Rick's not good at this game.
I'm terrible at this game.
two themes to this.
Okay.
Do you want to know what the themes to this game?
I don't want to know.
Okay.
You don't want to know?
I don't want to know.
Okay.
Because if it helps Mark, that's terrible.
It could help you, though, Rick.
Oh, the shoe is on the other foot.
You got both left shoes.
Oh, you're a bad dancer.
I'm a tiny dancer.
Oh.
Oh, all right. So maybe after a couple questions,
yeah,
you'll,
maybe
you'll start figuring out what the theme is.
Well, no, I think it's either it's go or no go. So it's either we decide. We can't change it up. But you don't change horses midstream.
What?
What horse do you want to ride, Rick?
No theme.
No theme. Oh. We're going no theme.
You're going themeless.
You can tell us at the
themeless
end.
Themeless in Seattle. Here are some clues from your parents' guide.
Okay. My parents?
Your parents.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So that might give me the itch.
I know.
So frightening and intense scenes, there are none in particular.
Okay. Good to know.
There's a few alcohol references. People are shown drinking at a bar.
Oh, I like it.
Some slang words are used. Four or five uses of shit, nothing too aggressive. A few uses of damn. A few uses of ass. One use of dick. A couple are seen making out in the background. A woman uses martial arts to punch and kick a few people.
Ooh,
comical,
okay.
Not explicit.
Hmm, okay, comical. Comical karate.
A woman rides a bike and is distracted, causing her to crash into a car and flip over.
Mark.
Yes.
Wayne's World.
That is correct.
Hey! Hi, Wayne. Hi, Wayne. Then she hits the car.
All right, Mark, you are at 0 points.
Woohoo!
Yay, we're tied.
All right, for our next game, this one is rated PG for some mild innuendos. Married couples kiss.
Ooh.
One of the main characters makes a brief comment about walking around the house in his underwear.
Was that person Rick?
No.
Okay, just checking.
One use of damn. The main character orders and drinks wine at a fancy restaurant.
Ooh.
And a homeless man offers that same main character an anonymous liquor, saying it'll grow hair on his knuckles.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
A woman is gagged, and her hands and feet are tied together in a scene. An angry mob attempts to hang the two main male characters.
Oh.
The supporting male character punches the main male character in one scene, knocking him unconscious. There is some kind of odd explosion at a playground in one scene. Kids are screaming as their parents pick them up and run away.
Oh, that's horrible.
That is not the movie I thought.
No.
So we're going to go away from that one.
Many people are clunked in the head or knocked over all throughout the film. But two main female characters wear low-cut dresses in a few scenes.
You can go ahead and guess, because I don't think I'm going to get the
sure.
next one.
Okay, a secretary character wears slinky clothing and flirts with the main character. In one scene, she lifts her leg up on him and says that as his secretary, he should feel free to use her in any way he sees fit.
Oh, my God. That...
Later, she tells him she's been a very bad girl.
That sounds so familiar.
Yes.
I can't put my finger on it.
What movie are you watching?
I don't know.
The main character's wife's mother appears drunk in many of the scenes she's in, and she's played by a very notable actress.
And who would that notable actress be?
I can't say.
I got nothing.
A child character, about 6 or 7 years old, hits people and objects in various scenes. Serious injury is never caused, though.
Maybe we should have taken the theme.
No, because it would have helped you.
Well, it would have made the game faster.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. The main character pictures his mother-in-law screaming in a dinosaur's mouth. All very silly.
Main character is screaming into a dinosaur's
mouth. The main character's picturing his mother-in-law screaming in a dinosaur's mouth.
Screaming into a dinosaur mouth.
Have I seen this movie?
Probably.
Does my mind work?
No. I don't know. You have been running on not a lot of sleep.
A bunch of male characters all drink out of a giant stone mug.
Oh.
And the main character comes home late that night, apparently drunk.
Okay. Well, he's drinking out of a giant stone mug. I would expect him to be.
Wait, giant stone... Rick.
Yes.
Is it the Flintstones?
It is the Flintstones.
Oh, well done.
Yay.
I would not have remembered anything from that movie.
I didn't either, but I was like, okay, dinosaur, stone mug, we're going to go with Flintstones.
And the notable actress playing the mother-in-law was Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, okay.
All right. Our next movie, one female character wears an outfit early in the movie when she's sneaking out that some might find objectionable for her perceived age.
Ooh.
There's a space battle at the beginning of the film.
Space
battle. Not Space Force.
There's some mild violence, an electrical jolt. 4 S-words, 9 dams, 6 hells, 1 use of pissing, as in pissing contest.
1 use of pissing.
Some, and later many, large, spider-like creatures come scampering across the floor. We then see a close-up of them, and they have large, menacing teeth. And they then scamper after and try to attack some characters for several minutes.
Large spider characters. Okay.
Wait. Hold on. I'm going to say, okay, Rick.
Yep.
Starship Troopers.
Incorrect.
Oh. Okay.
And I don't know what this theme is.
Spaceships explode and a planet explodes. Guns shooting. Some fist fights.
Galaxy Quest.
That is incorrect. Dawn is instantly attracted to Judy.
Mark.
Yes. Oh.
Lost in Space.
That is correct.
Hey.
Damn it.
See, I just need a name. Just give me a name.
Yeah.
I need it.
Okay, so Mark, you are currently at 1 point and Rick is at 1 point.
Yay.
But not too bad. And Lost in Space, one of the DVDs that came with my DVD player when I first bought it, along with Stepmom.
What was the second movie?
And
oh.
6 days, 7 nights.
I get the theme now.
Oh, Mark.
I don't know if that's going to help me, but I know what the theme is.
Darn. I don't know what the theme is.
All right. For some sex and nudity, there is some passionate kissing. A man and woman are kissing to blend in with the crowd.
Yes.
4 uses of bitch and its derivatives. 1, bullshit. 5 uses of ass and its derivatives. 6, dams. 8 uses of hell. And its derivatives, and at least 2 uses of Jesus, I think. They have a bunch of asterisks in here. One of the characters says Jesus when he discovers he is bleeding. A man is drugged, and we hear him vomit into a trash can, and later in a toilet.
Gross.
Some characters are seen smoking and drinking alcoholic beverages, and 1 drunk couple in background that are actually just pretending to be drunk.
Like the characters are, or like the extras were like, we're pretending to be drunk?
Either
one.
Is it like the extra in the film, Turtles 3?
Yeah.
The film is very dark, and at times intense, with being an action thriller, giving viewers a chase of adrenaline at suspenseful times.
I mean, the lighting budget was not high. It was very dark.
Yes.
Very dark movie.
The scene where a character is stabbed in the eye with electronic equipment is very scary.
Oh.
And will disturb some viewers. It's like The Octopus.
What the hell?
Stabbed in the eye.
That seems like
electronics.
That seems like something I would have remembered.
At the very beginning of the film, we see a woman laying in a bed.
Wait, Rick, Short Circuit.
Incorrect.
Oh, because it wasn't Johnny Five stabbed in the eye?
Because a robot.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. Main character. I'm not... Hey.
I didn't say main character on that one. I just said A character.
A character.
Oh, that's fine.
At the very beginning of the film, we see a woman laying in a bed in a very lewd outfit, supposedly murdered.
This doesn't fit the theme, but Sin City?
That's incorrect.
Okay.
We see upper part of a woman's breast, no nipple shown. Keep in mind, this is just cleavage.
Doesn't
very
help.
Specific.
That doesn't help me.
In the opening credits, we see a knife being pulled out of a man's bloody gut. See paragraph 6 for more details.
Oh, no. Are we seeing paragraph 6?
No.
What's paragraph 6?
A man shoots a woman and she dies. He then hits another man in the head and he is dazed.
What the
a
hell?
A man holds out his bloody hands at another man slowly walking towards him.
Rick, do it. Put your hands up like they're bloody so I can get a visual. Nope, got nothing.
The male lead grabs a female character and searches her. A female character gets into her car, and then the car explodes.
Oh, no!
No possible explanation of what happens after that, but we hear that she dies. A helicopter is blown up and crashes in a tunnel.
Wait, helicopter in a tunnel?
Mark?
Yep.
Live Free or Die Hard?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
No.
I was like, Die Hard 4, I think? Okay, no. All right. Thank you, Mark, for answering that.
The famous scene.
Oh, God. Famous scene that I don't know.
In a very controlled room is intense and suspenseful and might scare young viewers or confuse them.
What?
Rick.
Yes.
Mission Impossible.
That is correct.
I was thinking that early on, too.
This is one where I had to be coy with a lot of them because they just got into like explicit plot details.
Yeah.
Our next one. Let's go with some profanity first.
Sure. Because it really doesn't help us whatsoever.
What's the score right now?
2-1?
Rick has Rick has
the profanity doesn't help us ever, so.
Mild words like damn and hell are, I'm just trying to get us our explicit tag.
I gotcha.
Mild words like damn and hell are used throughout, one use of the word asshole, and one use of the word shit. Slang words like hustler and masher are also used.
Masher.
Masher.
That's the guy who makes the potatoes.
No.
He's the masher.
The word flarndip is used as a sexulated
what?
Term.
Flarndip? That sounds a little familiar.
It
now.
Sounds like yeah. Futurama, yeah. But it's not, so.
A character screams and suffers hysterically in the hospital while giving birth. The scene may be too intense or frightening for children. The male lead walks naked into a shower with other men.
Rick.
And two men's bare butts are shown.
Coneheads.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct. Flarndip.
I would not have
good
gotten
job,
from Flarndip.
Buddy. Holy moly.
I just remember I remember the birth scene.
Rick taking an early lead.
Yeah, wow.
3-1 right now?
I am way off on your theme.
Lead.
Your theme is less.
It's a good theme.
That one fits the theme.
It doesn't fit my theme.
Okay.
No sex scenes. Only one or two very mild references. Hand-to-hand combat. Someone falls many stories to their death, and we see a small trickle of blood from their mouth. People are killed.
Oh. I'm going to say Rick.
Okay.
Lethal weapon.
Incorrect. People are killed aboard a space station
waited.
By a mysterious energy and on a ship in space combat.
Yeah, you get a guess, Mark. Free guess.
Event Horizon?
Incorrect.
Ah.
Another person is killed by an explosion, and very briefly we see their body fly back and become engulfed in the flames. There are a couple of science fiction weapons fired, but no one is ever hit. God's name is said in vain once, hell several times, and shit one time. There's some casual drinking. This could be considered by some to be perhaps the most emotionally intense and disturbing film of this franchise.
Oh.
A man shows his friend a picture of his nephew and begins to weep, explaining that his nephew and family had just recently burned to death in a fire. There's an intense scene where a ship crash lands on a planet. People go flying inside from the impact. The part inside the Nexus can be very
Rick.
Emotional.
Star Trek.
Which one? That's what I was trying to figure out.
Most emotionally intense.
Star Trek. I can see the freaking cover of the VHS.
What characters are in it?
Shatner and Professor X. I don't know, whatever. Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart and Shatner.
You know what, Rick?
Star Trek.
I'm going to give you a half point.
Well, I get a
chance. No, I'm
going to
give. Nope. I'm giving Rick a
Star
half point.
Star Trek.
All right, Rick, you get a half point. The correct answer is Star Trek. No. I'm
why
giving
did
Rick,
I get the guess?
Because he's given all of the details
but
about the movie.
I had the same movie in my
yeah,
head.
You didn't
I was
ring
gonna
in.
Guess
you
it.
Didn't ring in.
I was waiting for more clues to narrow down.
That was
Star
basically
Trek.
All the clues in the Parents Guide.
That's cheap.
Oh, well,
cheap.
He's only
cheap.
Getting a half point. He's only getting a half point.
Cheap.
Half point.
Cheap.
It's Star Trek Generations.
Yeah.
Oh.
The first of the Next Generation movies.
Yep.
There's still plenty to
I
go.
Knew that.
Still plenty to go, Mark. You still can mount a comeback. What is the current score?
3.5.
3.5 to 1.
Okay.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities. I'm going to start with this next one with the profanity. The swear words are tame. Only two are said in the entire movie, which are shit and damn it. Some versions, including the VHS tape of the movie, have them dubbed out. The fights are generally more brutal than in the TV series and have lethal consequences.
Mark?
What?
Yes?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
That's what I was going to guess, but...
No, a character is shot and suffers some kind of internal explosion. His eyes turn orange as fire pours out of his head and smoke pours out of his mouth. He then falls back and explodes. This is particularly graphic and disturbing.
I get a free guess, don't I?
It's your free guess.
Who gets shot and explodes?
Right, your free guess is off the table.
It's fine.
Three characters fly to the main antagonist's mouth in an attempt to find a weak point. He bites down, killing all three characters. After being fatally wounded, the leader of the heroes is shown in a medical bay in the presence of his friends, including a small human boy. After choosing his successor, he succumbs to his injuries and dies. His life monitor flatlines and his glowing blue eyes fade out. Lastly, his entire body turns to a charcoal-like gray color, and his head turns down to his shoulder. His friends are visibly upset, and the human boy is tearfully crying on his arm. However, he's brought back to life in the TV series and subsequent episodes. The successor is killed later on, but is rebuilt.
What?
Rebuilt?
Two robots are executed by being fed to robotic sharks.
Rick.
Yes?
Transformers.
Yes. is specifically the animated Transformers.
It's the movie. Oh, it's the movie. And God. And now I understand, because that's when the planet explodes and they're like, oh shit, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, shit.
I still have to say that movie, I watched it again like 25 years later, and the opening scene, one of the robots gets fully executed.
Wow.
Yeah, like, and I was like, this is what we watched when we were six years old.
That's crazy.
Okay, so Mark.
I don't remember most of the things about that movie.
So it's now 4.5-1. There are 4 remaining. So if you sweep these, Mark, you get the win.
Okay, well, I should have had a chance to guess on Star Trek.
Whatever. I said Star Trek.
Rick gave you far too many clues.
But I already knew what it was.
You're 92-4 on these games.
Yeah. Rick is trying to even out his record as we wrap up the podcast. Record.
I'm trying to get to like 5 wins total over the course of how many years have we done this? 4 years?
This next movie has lots of sexual references.
Oh.
There's some brief nudity in this movie when we see a bunch of young women in the locker room. They're all running around screaming in towels, but we see one woman in the shower with her back to the audience.
Porky's?
That is incorrect.
Oh. I was going to say that.
Ah.
I'm glad you did.
You get a free guess. I'm trying to do the first one, because I feel like we're not getting it until like round 5. So
Yeah.
I might as well throw out a free guess, because I don't think you're going to get on the second one.
A man falls into a meat processing machine, and later his finger is bitten into a hot dog.
Leonard Part 6.
That is incorrect. A baseball player comically, and in a very unrealistic way, has his head knocked off.
Mark.
Yes.
Naked Gun.
That is correct.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
I was like, it's some kind of parody movie.
I was way off.
That one is a very silly movie. Now for our next one. One of the male characters is shown in his underwear briefly. The titular character and his neighbor are shirtless in a hot tub. No profanity, but there are a few arguments between the father and son in this movie that might make some people sad. The son uses the words stupid and dumb, and the word kill is used once by the son's friend, as in, my dad is gonna kill me. In the very beginning of the film, the son has a dream or nightmare where he turns into a giant version of his father. The girl he's interested in screams.
Oh, God.
Both Max and Roxanne kiss each other on the cheek once at different points in the movie. All the girls, Roxanne and the 3 dancers that Max bumps into during the concert, are drawn realistically in the female form, with curves around the breasts, hips, and buttocks area. But this is completely covered.
What? Wait, are drawn? Max
cartoons?
Max and Roxanne have what? Hold on.
The father's car blows up, sending him flying into the air.
Rick.
He crashes through a roof again unharmed.
Rick, a goofy movie.
It is a goofy movie.
Yeah, nothing.
What? All I know is because I know Goofy's son is Max.
We've got 2
remaining.
I don't
know what this is. Is this like
well, at
movies
the end,
that Brian
at the end,
likes?
At the end, I told you there's 2 kind of themes to this.
Yeah, I've gotten both of them now.
So the
they
themes,
don't help when trying to.
But
you can't know the you don't know the movie.
They are going to be worth points if you guess those themes.
Oh,
okay.
So
I'm
Rick, you are at
5.5,
and Mark, you're at
2.
So let's see for this next movie. Again, I think profanity is a good starting point. There's some language such as shit and bitch. And
just
one of the female daughters is called a slut by her date.
Well, can you have a male daughter?
Yes, you can.
I was just going to say, one
today's
of the female
world,
daughters?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
That was me saying female characters and then adding a little more specific detail.
Oh.
The female neighbor, who's married and has kids, is always either drunk or hungover. She behaves erratically in every scene she's in.
Oh.
A teenage boy is hit in the genitals with microphone and punched in the face in another scene. The female neighbor says to one of the female daughters, "Tell your father I'd be happy to wrap his packages next Christmas." This has sexual undertones, but the daughter happily agrees to deliver the message to her dad, and then she does.
Mark?
Her parents don't get it either.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
That is not correct.
Ah! I had to go for it.
The same female neighbor tells one of the sons when he comes over, "You sure have been getting bigger, and you're almost as big as your dad." Both could be sexual innuendos. I need a guess.
Oh, Rick. Oh, wait, it's all only me anyway. Hi, Mark. It's just me guessing. The Brady Bunch movie.
That's correct.
Wow.
All right, that's 6.5-2.
That neighbor was kind of freaky,
I'm
by the
done.
Way.
We should just call it, right?
Well, we have one last film.
Doesn't matter.
Well, we'll see how many points the themes are worth.
What? Why are you trying to take my win away from me? don't get any of these.
All right. So this is our last one. Some models are in very revealing clothing, and they walk up and down a runway at a dinner party. They're seen twice. Both instances are brief. A very brief side shot of the male lead, with his shirt off and pants pulled halfway down his butt. In a non-sexual context, he's treating a wound. He's seen again from a side view doing this. Male character has a brief suggestive dream about his late wife. The scene shows her on top from his point of view, and then him on top of her.
Mark?
Yes.
Lethal Weapon?
That is incorrect.
Ah.
All right, Rick, here's your extra hint. A man is hit twice with a metal pipe.
I got nothing. Good
Shit
luck to
is
you.
Used over a dozen times. Damn, hell, son of a bitch are used moderately throughout. A character turns out to be a drug dealer. Smoking and drinking is shown throughout. A man is hit in the face by a sliding girder.
Ouch.
There are two fistfights toward the end, both of which are fairly brutal. During the first one, a police officer is shot in the chest and killed. That's not really a fistfight anymore.
No, that's a gun battle.
It isn't very graphic, though. In the second one, which is pretty lengthy, a man is hit in the back with a chair and slammed into some objects. Many punches are thrown, and some blood is seen.
Don't you think of, like, when the girder, it's just sliding slowly?
Sliding.
And then I think the character turns around and gets hit by a girder. But I don't know what
that
the movie
is. That
is
a comedy bit.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of
this
movies.
Is not a comedy movie. Yeah. A man is stabbed with a small homemade dagger. A man is shot and blood sprays on car window. You see a nasty wound, which the character stitches shut himself.
Rick?
Yes.
Pulp Fiction?
That's incorrect.
Oh.
To continue this hint, because you came in partway through.
I saw the blood on the window and I just went with it.
You see a woman brutally killed and several people are hurt and killed during a bus/train wreck.
Speed!
That's incorrect.
Damn it!
You were so excited too. The beginning of the movie shows the character's wife's brutal murder. Bus and train.
Mark!
Yes.
The Fugitive.
That is correct. So where did you end up, Mark?
Three,
and Rick, you ended up at 6.5.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say these are both worth 2 points.
I'm not going to answer them.
Okay, here's the themes. They are either movies based on television shows.
That is correct. You're up to five.
Or they're movies that feature a TV actor or actress.
That is not one of the themes.
No?
Movies based on TV shows that are also movies that we never got around to covering on the $5 bin.
Oh, come on.
So specifically, they were in our range of dates, and they're ones that we didn't cover.
All right.
So if you had known that before, it could have helped you.
Yeah.
It would have narrowed it down.
All right.
So,
I'm glad we didn't know that, because then I won.
And if I hadn't given Rick a half point, you would have tied.
It would have been 6-6 because you would have gotten one of the themes.
That's true. All right, gentlemen, really quick, let's jump into a little... Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
I'm trying to think. How about we start off? First person I'm thinking off the top of my head is that guy, Daryl, the son, something Tom. I know he showed
David
up.
David Tom.
I know he later showed up in Pleasantville.
Oh.
But that's the only other thing I can recall him being in.
His most recent credit is an episode of NCIS from 2015.
Okay.
He was also on NCIS New Orleans as a different character. He's just making his way through.
Yeah, he's just going
through. He had a 306 episode run on The Young and the Restless.
Okay, so he's a soap opera actor.
Yeah.
My stories.
He was on one episode of CSI, one episode of Criminal Minds, 7 episodes of Veronica Mars, 1 episode of Supernatural, 16 episodes
mystery.
Of All My Children.
Oh,
so
he made his way
through the soap operas. He was on the TV movie The 60s.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yep.
2 episodes of Party of 5. And yes, he played Whitey in Pleasantville.
Whitey, yes.
1 episode of Sister, Sister, he played Denny.
Sister, Sister, never knew how much I missed you.
He was in the movie Roommates with D.B. Sweeney.
Oh,
and Peter
nice.
Falk. Yes. And Julianne Moore.
Oh, I didn't know she was in that.
Yeah. The TV movie Summertime Switch in 1994, he played Todd. He was Louis Bing in 3 episodes of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Oh, is that Chandler's brother?
Well, probably his descendant.
Okay.
Or Chandler is his descendant. Quantum Leap, he was in 1 episode. He was in Swing Kids.
Oh, yeah. He was the younger
Willy
brother.
Mueller. And then stay tuned. But he was also on Get a Life, which puts him in the
Abe Lincoln
cinematic universe. And he was on One Life to Live.
Wow. All right, David Tom. Now, another guy we brought up was the guy who I thought kind of looked familiar. He could be just a one-and-done type of guy, is the game show host. Not the announcer, Don Pardo.
Yes.
But the guy who's actually the host.
Dale Wilson, I think his name
could
was.
Could be.
Guy, yeah, that looks like him.
Guy Squarely.
That was the character
name?
That was the guy's name. Guy Smiley.
His latest was Blackway.
Oh, I saw that movie with that Anthony Hopkins.
How did you see this movie?
And Ray Liotta.
Dear Lord.
I saw that movie.
Notes from the Heart Healer, Iron Man, Armored Adventures, The Little Prince.
That's when Iron Man
Killer Mountain.
Extra protection.
Mobile Suit Gundam.
Oh, so that's anime, so voice
three,
work.
Two,
he's doing a lot of voice work.
Yeah, 3-2-1 Penguins.
3-2-1 Penguins.
Ricky Sprocket.
The answer.
Let's see. TV movie, Family in Hiding, Transformers, Cybertron.
Oh.
He was the voice of Mudflap.
Bringing it back around.
I'm Mudflap.
I'm a fish.
That's
a mudflap.
I figure he's probably some sort of truck that has mudflaps.
Yeah. Sabrina's Secret Life.
Okay. Oh. The Witch.
Oh, Transformers Armada.
Mud Shark.
No, he was Hoist or Smokescreen.
Okay.
X-Men Evolution.
Is that the one where, like, Stargate was a spaceship?
I don't remember. Infinity. Stargate SG-1, he was committee member number 3.
No.
That's a key position.
Oh, a TV movie. Inspector Gadget's Last Case. Claw's Revenge.
Who was this? Was it live action or?
No. Devin Debonair. He was a voice.
Devin Debonair.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch in Friends Forever. He was Mr. Rancid.
Forever. Mr. Rancid.
Oh, Mary Kate and Ashley in action TV series. He was a voice. He's done just a lot of voice stuff.
He was George Fordman on Smallville. George Fordman.
He didn't invent a grill.
RoboCop Alpha Commando.
Good for him.
So basically, voice work.
Yeah,
voice
work. Hayes not.
What
and
was his real
some
name again?
Spotty television credits.
Yeah. Wait. He was on Saban's Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation.
Oh, with Venus de Milo.
Oh.
He was on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV show.
With Peter Scolari.
Double Dragon, the TV series.
Breaking the Surface, the Greg Louganis story.
With Mario Lopez.
He played Doctor. I wonder if he's the one who diagnosed him.
Oh.
He was on Camp Candy.
Dear Lord.
Well, there was one more person, actually, I was interested in. In the Hell control booth, there was this guy who was kind of like Spike's Weasley assistant type of dude.
Yes, Wetzel is Don Kalfa.
Okay.
He passed away in 2016.
Aw.
He's post-production still.
He was in the Eddie Murphy Dr. Doolittle as a patient.
I thought he treated animals. Wait a minute.
He was in Mr. Payback, an interactive movie.
I saw that movie.
So that's where you remember
him. Oh, my God. What? Mr. Payback. You had controllers, and it was a choose-your-own-adventure where you had Mr. Payback, like if you wanted him to hit the guy with a hammer, A, poke him with an electric cattle prod, B.
Starred Billy Warlock. It featured Christopher Lloyd and Bruce McGill.
That was a weird movie.
Did you know who was the writer-director of that?
No.
Bob Gale.
Oh,
the
writer, Batman, right?
Of Back to the Future.
Oh, Back to the Future. I thought he did Batman.
That's cool.
Why did I think Batman?
So, going back to our friend Don Kalfa.
Yep.
Or Kalfa. Kalfa. Kalfa Alpha. He was on Columbo. One episode of Boy Meets World, in the episode where Corey thinks he's turning into a werewolf. Three episodes of Doogie Howser.
Oh, that was on the TV and Stay Tuned.
Yes. So, Cinematic Universe. Two episodes of Murder, She Wrote. He was in Bugsy. With Warren Beatty.
Oh, I saw that
movie. He played Louis Dragna.
That's what I might recognize him from, Bugsy.
He was in Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town as Ralph Willem.
Oh, that's Rick's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was in Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
Holly, Vito's hitman.
Yes, 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 yes.
Finally, we found a movie where Mark recognized someone.
Yeah, that's who he is. Okay. All right. I think that will wrap up for now. Where have these actors on? We do have one more bit of business to do.
Oh.
Is we have to stack rank the movie.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Stay tuned. All right. So I actually have a place to suggest because I brought this up during the full movie reviews.
No, you didn't.
This one contained a lot of TV show parodies, much like UHF. So maybe we should start at UHF and see where that is.
UHF is 43.
Okay. Let's go up and down a little bit.
All right.
Let's see
Twister is 42. Teen Wolf is 44.
Well, it's better than Teen Wolf.
Actually, Mark, you could be right on the nose here because I don't know. I think I'd almost watched Twister. All right. Then the next is The Crow, and the next is Kingpin.
Ooh.
So I don't think it's better than any of those, Twister, Crow, Kingpin.
I think you could be good just watching the trailer for this movie.
That's true.
You
can,
I think
you can do that too.
I think if you've watched the trailer, you don't have the pressing need to like, oh, I need to go back and rewatch that whole thing.
Here's the thing, right? If we go lower, you get Dark Crystal, Major League, Jingle All the Way.
No, it's not in those ranks. It's worse than Jingle All the Way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it can go down.
Keep going down, though.
All right. So then you go Bogus Journey, Time Cop, Spawn, Buckaroo, Hudson Hawk, Flight of the Navigator, Can't Buy Me Love, Sudden Death, 101 Dalmatians.
I feel like we should put it around Bogus Journey.
I don't think it's that good. This is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I think we could keep going lower.
No way. Flight of the Navigator did not hold up. I wouldn't go that low.
But here, I'd rather watch Blank Check than this movie.
As a Blank Check defender. Blank Check had Rick Ducamon, but this one has John Ritter.
This has John Ritter.
Batman Forever. I'd rather watch that than this.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather watch this over
Now here's where we're getting into stuff that I don't think I would do. Under Batman Forever is Monster Squad, Cutting Edge, Return to Oz, Hocus Pocus, Free Willy, Judge Dredd.
Okay.
You're getting into a spot where it's dicey.
You don't want to watch the movies.
Right. Batman Forever is kind of Monster Squad, I guess, if we were watching it to laugh. I mean, it's kind of that. But Wolfman's got nards.
That's it.
Wolfman does got nards.
I mean, once you get to Cutting Edge, Return to Oz, no. Hocus Pocus, yeah, around
Halloween, you might fire it up.
Free Willy, I'm never going to watch that again. You know, Judge Dredd, Never Ending Story, Little Monsters, Blank Man, no. Then you're getting Ernest, License to Drive, TMNT 3. Big Trouble.
Well,
I think we're too low. I'm saying I'm right at the Batman Forever line and saying this is one
What's under Batman Forever?
Monster Squad. It's better than Monster Squad.
I would rather watch this instead of Monster Squad.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds good.
So Batman Forever, it is now the new 62.
The new 62. How do you do?
Feel like poo?
How about you?
Got a new shoe.
It's time to goo. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast.
Can you wait till I go before you goo?
I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. 2 episodes to go.
Don't mind if I do.
Good night.
Good do.
23 Skidoo.
And me.
Judgment. In a world where TV shows are being turned into big-budget Hollywood movies, the next one coming to a theater, she's tough, she's crass, she makes the decisions, she's Judge Judy.
Hi, I'm Judge Judy.
The plaintiff is here to state his case.
I was just telling people what the underwears were. I wasn't doing anything with them.
Guilty!
Oh, no.
Judge Judy, coming to a theater near you.
In a world where Aquaman has reigned supreme.
Oh no.
Comes a new kind of undersea adventure. They're back. They're darker. They're snorkier. Come along with the snorks,
MF-uffer.
Yes, MF-uffer. Come along with the snorks. Only in theaters this Christmas. You can stick it in your head pipe. In a world where a lion has sex with a bee and a rhinoceros has sex with a monkey, these unhuman creatures will be born, taking over this holiday season. It's the Wuzzles.
I had one as a football. It's true.
I don't know why we included that in the trailer.
I don't know why.
In a world
where content is thin, so fictional stories are not exciting the people anymore. Watch as senators and lobbyists and other politicians speak for hours and hours and hours on 24-hour C-SPAN coverage.
I was just boofing with Squee.
In a world where letters are turned seductively.
Ooh, give me a P.
I'll take an A.
Do you want my D?
There are no D's.
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Coming to a theater near you this Christmas, Wheel of Fortune, starring Pat Sajak.
Better not mess with me, I'll make it your Wheel of Misfortune.
And Vanna White in her starring first role.
I hear you'd like to buy an O.
Excuse me, the nerds here from the fact checkers. I do believe that Vanna White is in Naked Gun 33 and a third with Weird Al Yankovic.
You don't need to bring that up in this trailer.
Well, I'm the podcast fact checker.
Oh, God, we're going to end up on CinemaSins, aren't we?
We are.
Yes, we've had three already.
Or my own personal website.
I hate the internet.
CinemaSplooge.
CinemaSplooge.net. How's that spelled? If you spell it out, we have to buy it.
Splooge.
Is that like the luge event?
Exactly.
The Olympics?
I prefer the skeleton.
You would, you sick freak.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast and one of our final episodes. Ooh. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes in iTunes. And when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby sleepy game show contestants!